must remember, do not forget.
Remind me to bring photo ID.
Reminder set.
Babe, can you make sure I don't forget my photo ID when I vote?
All right, love.
However you remember, you'll need photo ID to vote in the elections in England on the 7th of May. Don't have ID? Apply for free voter ID today. Find out more at electoralcommission.org.uk/voter ID.
A lot of people are doing everything they know how to do to move forward. They're reading books, they're trying to think positively, work hard, push through, trying to get motivated, and yet they still feel stuck. Stuck in their same patterns, stuck in the same emotional weight, stuck in the same inner noise. So what if the problem isn't just that what if the problem is that you're trying to create change from a system that is already out of alignment? Now, today's guest is Dr. Allison J. Kay, founder of the Vibrational Upgrade System. She has spent more than 25 years working in mind, body, energy medicine, meditation, yoga, holistic health, and subtle energy. And her books and programs, focus on helping people release blocks, access more ease, and create change from the inside out. This conversation is about stress, alignment, intuition, hidden blocks, and what it really takes to shift your life when forcing it to when it's no longer working. I am so excited to have you here, and I'm so happy that you're on the show today. I just want to, go right into the issue. Now, a lot of people feel like they're just trying hard to change their lives, but they keep running into the same patterns, the same heaviness, and the same frustration. Why do so many people stay stuck even when they generally want something different?
Because they're not working at the right level of depth. So I entered my bachelor's degree as a psych major in the third semester. And I was like, you're not showing me how to be the happiest, most thriving version of myself, know how to help others do that. So I changed majors. And so I've been looking at what is the holistic response to how do we be the happiest, most thriving versions of ourselves ever since. This included moving over to Asia and living there for 10 years and studying how energy flows, studying how consciousness works even more than I already knew as a meditator and an energy medicine professional as my side gig already. I went into the international school system so I could have more fun and more adventure and more abundance as opposed to the public school system locally with the side gig of energy medicine and holistic health and wellness sessions. So I moved over to Asia and chose Taiwan as the international school I was going to work at. I became an administrator too and continued the side gig of energy medicine sessions for locals and expats. And when I came back after that exploration of going to Buddhist monasteries, talking to monks, traveling all over the place, getting massive amounts of traditional treatments on my Chinese New Year breaks, I would go to Bali, Thailand typically, but getting all these traditional treatments and asking loads of questions. And then even when I was in Taiwan working every week, I got traditional treatments and explored different parts of the town and asked lots of questions so I could understand better how this all worked. And this included me going to India and getting my yoga teacher and meditation teacher formal certification, even though I had already been teaching meditation for quite a few decades at that point.
Right.
Meditating. When I came back to the States, Anastasia, which is Issy's Greek name. When I came back to the States, I dropped the classroom teaching career and took what had been the side gig full time. And so one of the first things that I saw was overwhelmed. I wasn't overwhelmed, but I was aghast at the amount of people in adrenal burnout. Yeah. So now I'm doing one-on-ones for Americans, which I had been doing before I left for Asia, but now I'm a whole different person with a whole different perspective. I remember when I was in Taiwan, we'd come back into the gym on Mondays after the weekends. And I remember asking my buddies in there, what'd you do this weekend? They told me rest. And I was surprised by how many people, instead of telling me like what I did, I went on an adventure, they rested. And these guys like were in their 20s and 30s. What are you doing resting? Yeah. And one of the things I learned is that you don't ever allow your adrenals to go into burnout because right. they're hard to back. Between coming back to the States and working on person after person after person in sessions, what I also remember that was really striking in answering your question was there was this one client that came in and she was the mother of twins and going through a divorce. And she said, I was at her toes because I was doing a rebalancing of her central nervous system. And I was looking up at her and she said, She's talking about stuff that's going on in her life. And she said, I just have to figure it out. And I was like echoing back, like my head almost maybe physically went back a bit to access the part of me who I would be in order to say a sentence like, I just have to figure it out with that sense of pounding that she was coming at it with. Mm-hmm. So if you take these things combined, I know that one of my main missions coming back from Asia with my first book, What If There's Nothing Wrong? Because it started as my dissertation for my PhD that I wrote in like traditional tea houses after work at night and after the gym. I realized that, my gosh, if people in the States and in the West only understood that there is a science behind how consciousness works and how energy flows and valued the invisible, there would be so much more flourishing and thriving and so much less suffering. So my first response to you is because they're not working deep enough. So the majority of people out there that are, we're in humanity's awakening times. This is considered humanity's spiritual awakening times. About a year being back from the States, I got asked by Voice America to have a radio show weekly on the Mayan galactic alignment. Now, I had been doing nothing public facing with the Mayan ruins, but as we talked about before, I'm on the West Coast of Florida, so it's a quick flight across the Gulf of Mexico into the Yucatan, where there's a lot of Mayan ruins. So I was taking clients on private VIP retreats there, but Voice America didn't know that. So I said, give me 48 hours. I'll call you back on Monday. I got to listen. And I did. And it was such a huge yes. So I proceeded to learn in my weekly interviews what December 21st, 2012 was all about. And it's a 20-year, until I became an expert on it myself, 2012 to 2032 is humanity's greatest evolutionary leap. It's also known as our spiritual awakening time. So you guys can all see more meditation apps. You can see more yoga studios, see more people interested in crystals, more crystal stores, more crystal bowls. All right. So all of these are indicators. So is all of the divisiveness, all of the abuses of power coming to the surface, the truth being known. So is the Black Lives Matter movement. So is the Me Too movement. So is COVID. So all of this is like a detox. We had spent the first 10-ish years or so purging all of the old system, the old paradigm that we've been living in with a Newtonian physics backdrop that's more physically reliant, physically tangible, you know, predictable. If I hit this ball here, it's going to hit that ball into that pocket. Now we're living in a backdrop that is quantum physics based with stuff, there's sudden quirks and leaps, and it's very much more energy based. And haven't you like thought of somebody and then they text the next minute or call within the next minute?
Oh, many times.
Okay, so that's what I'm talking about. We're so much more awakened. I saw a lot of people like around 2017-ish. No, that's too late. More like 2014-ish have skin reactions.
Yeah.
And it's because the skin awakening, that's our biggest organ, the skin, but it's a sensory organ.
Yeah.
And then there's all the people with the digestive changes they're making as we wake up and get more sensitive to the more subtle. People are still approaching, nonetheless, mindset stuff, this growth, this personal development stuff from the intellect.
Yeah.
And where we make our daily choices from, and the majority of our beliefs are not from the self-talk or the thoughts we hear.
Yeah.
That's our 85% of where we make our daily choices from that are automatic. Many of them are from the thoughts we don't even hear.
Yeah,
I all these decades of doing this work and intuitively, I see it as more like 95% of all the choices we're making and what we're working on to change. We're not getting at because 95% of it is thoughts you don't even hear. So you need to work at that level of depth. The therapy, you're just reinforcing stories. So it's making something more solid and real by reinforcing the stories in therapy, affirmations, they don't go deep enough. You have to get out that unconscious and subconscious stuff that comes in, whether it's karma or it's trauma or it's imprints from your parents. Like when we're ages 0 to 2, we're not even separate from our parents. We think and feel what they do. And then you know how the terrible twos with the now, the brattiness, that's because we're separating and forming our own ego identity. But from 2 to 8, we're looking around the world, well, at least our own immediate world, wondering, how does life work? And so if we see our sibling come home from school and have a project that got an A+, and they get all this love and hugs and approval from parents, then we're going to say, oh, we're going to have the conclusion that gets lodged into our unconsciousness. So if I do really good at school, I'll get that yummy feeling that he's getting or she's getting.
Right.
And so that could eventually become, though, is perfectionism or overachieving. So we have to go to the level of depth beyond the thoughts you hear, because yeah. that stuff, that back to the house consciousness, as I come to call it, it's like an Everglades airboat. It's the big fan in the back causing the pilot to hear what the pilot hears, see what the pilot sees, and make the choices the pilot makes. So the more that we can flesh out that back of the house consciousness, the more your subtle energy system awakens and opens and flows more energy, the more you have fresh consciousness at your disposal to make new choices from and see new possibilities and change your life genuinely.
Yeah. Now, how does someone know when they are dealing with more than just stress or mindset?
If you're saying you feel stuck, if you're saying you want A, let's say somebody says, I want to leave this job and get a better job or start a business, and they instead stay in that job and complain and don't do anything about those other two possibilities, mm-hmm. another job in a better situation or opening up their own business. So if you find yourself genuinely saying you want something like, I'm going to call it A, and you're not choosing A, but you're making yeah. choices that are not A, then you have blocks. So yeah. that's when you need to go beyond mindset. The work that I do eventually, not even just eventually, it's meant to speed up the effects of meditation. So you are more detached and you can observe with capital O your thoughts. Okay. Mind work is actually getting beyond the intellect. Some of the mindset work that I see that goes on out there, it's just not effective. Your mindset is what it is because of all the stuff you don't hear. So you have to work at that depth to change what you hear in your mindset. Right. We're not talking about, we're only working the mindset so you have more mindfulness. We're talking about changing what you actually hear, working yeah. with the neuroplasticity of the brain to create new neural pathways so you have new self-talk and new even habitual thought patterns that help you move into a new stage of life that's higher and lighter and freer.
Right. Now, a lot of people use the words like alignment or energy, but they can, you know, sound vague. So if they're not explained clearly, let's make it practical. So when you say someone is out of alignment, what do you actually mean?
Well, I don't use that term because it's too overused.
Okay.
And I mean, this used to be a spiritual path, right? Like 5,000 mm-hmm. years of ancient wisdom from the yogic culture and the traditional Chinese Taoist culture who created yeah. yin yang, right? So yeah. now in humanity's spiritual awakening times, this is a marketplace and an industry. And there's a lot of stuff that's being said from people who shouldn't really be out there saying stuff
right.
because they haven't learned enough. But yeah. it's such human nature. You find something that you're excited about or that works for you, and you got some improvement, you want to share it. So this thing, this focus of being out of alignment, I mean, there's, you know how when you're on this path, genuinely, you can hear the same thing 1 year and then 3 years later, because of the growth you've gone through, it yeah. means something entirely different. Okay.
Exactly.
So out of alignment is like that. So if I were to use that term, it would be that you're listening to your ego mind. That's the Buddhist term for the self-talk we hear. So it's the part of ourselves that's protective and right. We're going into the new, the unknown. It helps us navigate the physical plane amidst all the metaphysical data. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't like the new or the unknown. It automatically gets protective against it. So the ego mind is also the result of the blocks that you hear.
Right.
So it's causing you to make the choices that you make and not and make the choices you don't make, avoid the choices that you could be making.
Yeah.
It means when you're listening too much to that lower voice based on the past. If you right. want to access the new, you have got to come out of the self-talk, because that is absolutely the wrong tool to be using to access something new and different. It's like right. using a screwdriver when you need a hammer.
Right, exactly. I think this is where a lot of people get frustrated. They try to change their thoughts. They try to change.
Totally.
Yeah, they try to stay positive and they try to push through themselves
yep.
to a new outcome. And it sometimes, you know, it just doesn't work. And, you know, what do people get wrong about personal growth when they focus only on mindset?
There's a whole thing called the subtle energy system, right? And so mm-hmm. I'm going to just talk about it for a minute. Every single yoga pose that you do in yoga class is actually created to open up a certain chakra. That's why you feel so good after you leave the yoga class, not because your body got stretched, but because you have more life force flowing in you and less blockage. So every chakra is an intersection of the mind, the body, and the spirit. Chakra means wheel. It's supposed to be turning. And when you, and each, you know how a chakra has a Sanskrit symbol in the middle of the symbol, and then there's all the petals, lotus yeah. petals around it? Mm-hmm. Those petals are different aspects of the chakra. For example, the throat chakra is, yes, it's about communication. I'm going to go to a higher level that I've identified yeah. that hardly anybody else is talking about. Your courage, your choices, yeah. your courage to make new choices. If you feel restricted in your life, like let's say you're a busy mom working a job you don't like, but it's getting yeah. you the help for your kids. So if you feel restricted or trapped, you're likely going to have a tight neck because the throat chakra is turning the vital life force energy in the musculature of the part of the body right. that chakra is responsible for. So our unconscious or subconscious is for some reason concluding, I don't have, let's say here in this example, I don't have the right to actually chase after or allow myself to choose what'll light me up for work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or they've gotten imprinted from parenting is a responsibility and I must sacrifice myself in order for my kids to get raised from yeah. their own, right?
Right.
So you make these choices that you think are intellectual or logical and you're not letting yourself open up to genuinely consider what might be here. I'm going to use this term more in alignment right. from your guidance, which you can cue. Once you've made enough progress, you can cue your guidance to bring in, I don't want to say answers, but to bring in guidance that, yeah. wait a minute. So here's an example. I had a woman who came in to work with me, my signature program. She was in the first 4 weeks and the signature program opens people up to new possibilities in the first 6 weeks. She was a single mom with a teen daughter, wanted more time with the teen daughter, wanted herself to have more money. And so in the first 6 weeks, I'm doing stuff on the people's subtle energy system to open up the relevant chakras so they're able to be open, receptive, and even call to their local field more new possibilities. Yeah. It's in the exclusive Facebook group for this program. Dr. Allison, I didn't do anything on LinkedIn. I didn't put out any resume before recruiters have reached out to me from accounting corporate firms. You know, I'm in a corporate accounting firm. You know, I want to start my own business. What to do? And so I tuned in with my intuition and I got, okay, this is in response to opening up to the new possibilities. Give me the names of the four different companies. She did. I went through the list. I got an energetic, intuitive ping on two of them. I told her yeah. those two. She responded, ultimately ending up with getting a job with one of those two that allowed her, way before COVID, allowed her to work remotely half the week, paid her more money. So ultimately she had more time with her teenage daughter and had more money, but her higher self knew the way to go, not the logic and reason of, oh, let me open up my own business because logically, won't I have more time freedom?
Yeah.
Probably not. Because this business owner of 16 years. So what I'm getting at is there is also, and it's well beyond the cute meme, surrender. There are mechanisms in our system that if we use those tools, it helps us open up. It's beyond what is commonly talked about out there.
Yeah.
A lot of people listening probably want more clarity. They want, you know, to trust themselves more. They want to stop, you know, second guessing everything. They want to know, you know, what is intuition and what is fear. Like, how do you help people tell the difference between the true inner knowing and just, you know, mental noise?
In a nutshell, it's many years of learning curve. I mean, genuinely, I have people come into my signature program and then if it's appropriate, they come into my mastermind. And
yeah.
that's when they to be vibrational upgrade practitioners and go on retreat with me where I'm about to go over in England. And so the focus for that 2-year trajectory, and many of them stay with me longer, is intuitive development at a more and more and more subtle level so they can serve their clients well and they can serve their lives well. So that all having been said, in a nutshell, it's what feels lighter to you in your chest area.
Yeah.
Intuitive guidance. So when a thought makes you feel contracted
yeah.
or smaller or caged or heavy, that's the ego mind with its conditioning. And that's a conclusion that your ego mind, that you may not be able to catch it because you're not detached enough from your thoughts
right.
to observe them happening and even choose which thoughts to listen to. So then you can, with applied mindfulness, create new neurological pathways to start having new thoughts. All of that gets easier the more that you get me clearing out the back of your house consciousness.
Right.
Rather than trying to do it on your own. And yeah. so when you have a feeling of uplift in your chest or in your heart before the debate starts, but if I do that, just tuning back in, if your ego mind starts to go, but if I choose that, if I follow that guidance, mm-hmm. XYZ is going to happen. Catch yourself in that inner debate starting and not predicting starting, because those are both completely about the ego mind's natural tendencies everybody has, and come back to running that idea by you again, that intuitive thought, whether it's an idea for a new thing you can step out and do that lights you up, or it's just information where somebody deceived you, or it's thing that has been hidden, but you want to know about something. It's also a floater. So that one of the ways to identify is what I just said, uplifted in the heart, lighter. Mm-hmm. Another way it feels is in the mind. So that one was a feeling and a response, a bodily response I just gave you. Stop looking for the full body yeses. I know a lot of people expect their whole body to tingle for a yes. Yeah, that can happen, but that's not typical. If you're going to live your life from that aligned place with your higher self, then you're not going to be walking around all day with full body tingles. Right. You know, you want to use it like this email, this new opportunity that came in through this email. Is this a yes? Check in with yourself. Do you go lighter without the thoughts? So one of the other ways that it's intuition also works is with thoughts, but they're easy to ignore. They're quieter. They're like feathers or parachutes floating in, and they feel kind of like they're either in mid-head or back of the head. They don't feel like that loud, pushy, fear-driven, kind of controlling voice that the ego mind tends to be in people who haven't worked with their minds at all.
Right.
So the more, I'm going to just say it simply, the more that you clear your back of the house consciousness, the more that correlates with you being lighter, you having more life force. Let's use life force as energy and light interchangeably, which means you're raising your vibration, which means you're going to be more propelled towards the higher, lighter thoughts. And then that starts to compound upon itself. The hardest part is starting.
Right. Now, what is one simple practice that helps people reconnect with their inner guidance?
You want a simple step? I say put your hand over your higher heart chakra, so where your thymus gland is. Mm-hmm. So not the heart chakra itself, not right in between the pecs or the nipples.
Yeah.
You're going to up about an inch and a half. You're about an inch. Wait, do it again, please, Anastasia. You go to the center. You're not over the physical heart. You're going to the center. Come over to your left a little bit more with your hand. Now go up just a tad bit more. Yes. Did you just feel that lock into place? Did you just feel some kind? Yeah. That's the higher heart chakra. If you just sit with your hand over there for about a minute or two, just start with that. You could even have your hand. Everybody has healing coming from their palms. And some of you may be attuned to Reiki or whatever, be even more predisposed to having more light flow through your hand. But everybody has healing. There's a minor chakra in a palm. And so energy flows out. And I'll tell you what, too, the more that you have your heart chakra open, that heart chakra is responsible for the arms and the hands, the more robustly you're going to channel lighter energy for those of you who are already doing healing work out there.
Right. Now, for the person listening right now who feels drained, heavy, or you're just totally out of it, you know, what are a few things that they can start doing to shift their internal state right now?
So then you could take your hand and put it on your crown, face down in the center of your head, and take your other hand and put it over the base of your skull.
Okay.
In the skull. Do that for a couple of minutes. That'll shift you. Then if you're, so that will do quite a few things. Obviously, that's at the top of the central nervous system too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that there's been in the last couple of years in this industry on the central nervous system, because it's starting to move more into the new era, like I talked about, starting, but we're co-creating it. We're building towards it for 2032-ish. So we're still dealing with the old paradigm having collapsed and continuing to have parts of it collapse with the uses of power, but we're not yet in the new era. That has been one of the things about this new era is, instead of the force, like you talked about this in the beginning, Anastasia, that pushing and forcing and making it happen, that burnout that you have, because that's what we're taught in the United States in particular, is to go at it, make it happen. And that's a great aspect about us, but we've got to bring it to balance because it's been turned way too loud up. And it's also an aspect of one of the other major components of what's rebalancing is the feminine and the masculine that we have. And I'm not talking about like gender. I'm talking about the sun is masculine, the moon is feminine. Why does that matter? Because action steps, the physical is masculine, inner work, intuition, the body is feminine. Why you heard me say in the beginning, like where I was in Taiwan, that's a very overall feminine country compared to the masculinization that the United States is. Comparatively, and then we talk about that over in Taiwan, how masculine or yang the U.S. is. So we're more geared towards stepping out, making things happen. Whereas over there, they were more dreamy and able to imagine things and worked with that more. So we need work our inner world more and they need to work their outer world more. And so within each of us, we have to do that too. So if you're more geared towards pushing, forcing, making happen the outer world, seeing results in the outer world, not trusting your inner world, first off, stop that. Because now is the time where you're going to have natural support in the energetics around you that we're all living in to go inward and do more inward work. And so watch yourself for, because this is really stealth conditioning. I see it like in the most aware people, I even have to monitor it too am I naturally going to take action, or is there more that I can seed in the energy to create the pathway to be easier before I step out into it? Right? So it's brake and gas pedal in a car, the feminine and the masculine. And I'm not saying it's perfect balance at all. There are so many caterpillars on my window, which is animal medicine for transformation, and butterflies, big fat caterpillars. I'm sorry. It's really hard not to notice. So anyway, there's animal medicine that the universe is always signaling to us. If we can, like the encouragement I'm talking about beyond 111 and 555. I used to train with the Native Americans in my late teens and early 20s and learned about animal symbolism, as I'm sure loads of you know about. But when, like, you're in the process of changing your life, let's say you just made a new choice and you're needing more trust, instead of going into the debate or the doubt or the, oh my God, what did I just choose? Staying confident in your letting yourself up level, look more, because the universe is going to be bringing signs to you, whether that's caterpillars or butterflies or certain birds. You can then Google symbolism of egret. So you can stay more encouraged. It's really, really, really easy to derail yourself with your thoughts after you've taken a step out. It's the nature of the ego mind. Did you rise? Now it wants to snap you back into the familiar. Habituation is to the status quo because it thinks it keeps you safe.
Now, you also talk about manifestation and possibility. And I think that you can interest people while also making some, you know, some people skeptical. So let's talk about it in a grounded way. So what do people misunderstand about manifestation?
You're doing it all the time. There's no big deal to it. Mm-hmm. You are doing it all the time. If you look, this isn't ungrounded. If you mean by let's get it more grounded, because it could be woo-woo, there is science behind it. I mean, it took the halls of Orthodox science 100 years when they realized the study where they were having a controlled study in or experiment in the lab. And when they saw the results, they realized the results were what they were because they had affected those results by their expectations.
Yeah.
And from there on in, science has never been the same. Einstein found that so revolutionary, he couldn't even deal with it. He kept going more into the theory of everything. Huh. This is quantum physics 101. We are affecting what shows up in the non-localized consciousness with our localized consciousness. We are not observing anything objectively.
Right.
So it's not woo-woo. If you need the science, that's the science. And then there's, you know, cultures in other places around the world for thousands and thousands of years that understand this. So I find it at this point kind of ignorant for anybody to think that this is woo-woo stuff. I'm not saying you do it all. Yeah. But please just understand we're in a changing world. And that's why it feels so much less sturdy and so much less reliable and so much more changed, because we are in humanity's spiritual awakening times, and we've switched from that old Newtonian physics, physically based vibrational backdrop. And we're now living in one that's based on quantum physics.
Yeah.
So it's less physicalized. It's more about energy. And so we are each creating all the time, co-creating. I mean, the meaning of the word yoga means to yoke with. And it's implied, the end of that is to yoke with the divine. So why I'm saying that is because so much is on the yogic path for enlightenment and spiritual progress. And one of the main outcomes is to recognize that you are always co-creating, and you could be co-creating with the divine, or you could be just co-creating with your ego mind and your thought. So what do you want to see out there in the world? Now, you have a lot of people talking about, how do you do this? It's a process.
Yeah.
To get to the point of being an energy and a consciousness that can adeptly, effectively work with being able to work with the natural laws to be able to create what you want. And you have to go through spiritual growth, because we are automatically, you know how it is. Like if you think about, he's going to be triggered if I do this, and then you see he's triggered when you did that, right? So there's the predictive stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like why something shows up the way it did. And you say, oh my God, I would never create that for myself. Why am I dealing with this? It's that back of the house consciousness. So it's one of the main gigs of our time right now is to understand why what shows up and what you can do about it to make it a lighter, more divine infused existence in your everyday. And that includes money. Money is neutral. So money reacts in response to what we project onto it. So we all have those beliefs I'm talking about. We may have grown up with our parents saying you have to work really hard for every bit you get, or save. Let's say but you have to work really hard to get any bit you get. So that means if you're presented with a job that would be easier for you, you're going to doubt it away. You're not going to let yourself, that you're going to stay with the thing that's familiar because that's what you've learned you can trust. And then you have that back of the house belief of it's not about me working hard. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
No. It's not possible. So I'm talking about like what you project on to money with what you hear you believe, and more so what you don't hear you believe. But if you observe the way you, what happens with money occurs in your world, is it easy for you to receive money? Or do you, if you looked at what the behavior is with money, do you push it away? Like, do you have stuff come in and then you immediately have to spend it? So what we're talking about is recognizing the power of your beliefs.
Right. And why do people sometimes want the outcome to stay, but attach, you know, to the pattern that blocks it?
Because that's totally nature of the ego mind 101. The ego mind doesn't like change. Its job is to protect our mental structure, the way it gets its labels. Like I'm in Asia, I'm with a friend, we're at a fruit market. We see a piece of fruit. It doesn't look familiar. It's exotic. We go, wait, our mind goes into the files through our something that's come in one of our five physical senses. See, this looks like pear, is the file produced. We're in Asia, is the next file produced. Asian pear label. So, I mean, like I taught Psych 101 in use textbook at the college level in the international school I taught in. I created a course also called Global Psychology using the Dalai Lama's texts that were the outcomes of his summits with Western scientists. And so the intro to Psych 101. So this isn't all ooey groovy. This is the nature of the mind from a global perspective, as well as primarily it's steeped in the Buddhist understanding. The ego mind is what Buddhism calls it. Our mind goes through receiving data from our five physical senses and retrieves files to label it so quickly that we don't see the synapses firing.
Right.
But that's how it works. So that means it's also meant to help us. Like if we're in the jungle, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, right? It wants to know, do I have to take us into flight or do we fight here? Because this is unknown. So it naturally fights, resists against the new. So when you go to change and you're feeling all this, I can't leave my house. I don't want to do this. No, no, no. It's not you. It's the nature of the mind.
Right.
And so that's why you would want to stay, why it would seem you want to stay in the same pattern, even though it's uncomfortable. And so what you want to do is not have to get yourself forced to get to a crisis level in order to force yourself to change, but just recognize that's only one part of you. Even though it's the voice that you're used to listening to, it is still only one part of you. You have a spirit, you have a heart, you have a body, you have a higher self. Recognizing that that's just the nature of that tool whose thoughts you hear, resist change and to prefer the status quo. And that is not going to interpret this sucks or this is great.
Right. Now, if someone's listening and they feel like they have been trying to think their way into a better life, but they still feel stuck, what is the first shift that they need to make?
To recognize you're not going to think your way to it. Affirmations, if somebody stands in front of a mirror in the morning and says, I am wealthy, and the first thing that's going to come to their mind is their bank account. That proves to them that they're not wealthy. That's why they're using the affirmation in the first place.
Yeah.
Stop using affirmation and recognize that you're not, there's more to you than that thought you just had. So you could question, you could start to become more aware of your thoughts. You could slow down your lifestyle, not to even give you 10 minutes a day to, I'm not saying meditate, right, just observe, like maybe while you're in the shower, or while you're driving, observe your mind thinking.
Yeah.
And then just pick one thought to question. Mm-hmm. Is that even true?
Right.
Just take the title of my first book. If you have your mind moaning and complaining, you could also choose, instead of questioning it, like I just asked, is that even true? You could also say, whoa, hey, yo, whoa, 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 rein in the mind. What if there's nothing wrong here?
Yeah.
If it's in the like moaning full on, or even not, if it's just going into, it's getting geared up and it's starting to then predict what's going to happen that day. And you had a bad interaction with that colleague yesterday. So now your mind's starting to review what happened with that colleague. And now it's starting to predict what's going to happen today. And now you're starting to predict how you're going to have to act today because of how you were acted yesterday with that colleague and what happened with that colleague and how that colleague, whoa, hey, yo, ho, wait. Hey, what if there's nothing wrong here? Yeah. So what we're talking about is increase your self-mastery over your thinking mind.
I love it. Now, if you could leave listeners with one message about getting, being stuck, and about healing, and about personal power, what would that be?
You have so much more power than you are aware of. And there are so many more possibilities to how you can live your life without having to make radical changes, mm-hmm, than you are, I can guarantee, than you are aware of. People come to me consistently and they have comments like, wow, Dr. Allison, you're the real deal. And when I first heard that, I was like, I wouldn't do this work if it didn't work. Like, right. I was just approaching from a logical response. But the reality is that what I've come to learn, and I'm grateful for that reflection, is that because of all the work I've done and who I naturally am, that I've learned to cultivate even further, I have access. And so I share that access like training wheels for people and help them cultivate their own access. So there is a phenomenal amount that's becoming possible that wasn't even at this time last year. We are living in times that there's a term in Sanskrit, the yogic philosophy, that's called Turiya. This is part of, I go into this in my second book, A Vibrational Upgrade, A Conspiracy for Your Bliss. Turiya means T-U-R-I-Y-A, Turiya, Sanskrit to English, bliss. And I bring that up because one of the things that's much more possible than you're even aware is, without labeling it toxic positivity, yeah, or spirit bypassing, there actually is a place, an understanding from the yoga philosophy, what existence feels like when there's nothing wrong. And it's not just a momentary peak experience. So we have a lot in the West that we still need to learn. The more you let yourself go into depth rather than take it at the surface level. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean dedicate like 5 hours a day. I don't mean going to live in an ashram. I don't mean reading another book. I mean, just start with what I've talked about.
Right.
Start working on yourself. Start observing your thoughts. It gets easier if you use the tools that I have available and my programs are working with me. But you could still just dedicate a walk or a shower to, let me observe my mind now.
Right.
You will feel freer, and there's nothing like it, that freeness. So there is so much more available than you possibly know.
Right. I love that. Now tell us a little about your books and also the courses and the retreats that you have.
So my books are on my website, vibrationalupgrade.com. You can just look at the tabs. I think it's under the shop tab. I'm also on Amazon. What If There's Nothing Wrong won awards. Second book, A Vibrational Upgrade, A Conspiracy for Your Bliss. My publisher made me include Easing Humanity's Evolutionary Transition because, mm-hmm, he worked and he knows what my mission's about. That one won awards and was a number one international bestseller. Third, Reasonable Dragons. The subtitle for that, I seem to like to not remember exactly. Activate the Field of Possibilities, Where Logical Magic is the New Normal. That's my third book. This is the only one that's in audio also. And then my fourth book is Dragon Master Creatrix, Conversations, mm-hmm, Female Spiritual Teacher for These New Times. My programs, I have ones at different levels, and we're going through I'm going through a rebirth right now and redesigning what I'm doing to a degree. My signature program has been called Magic Manifestation and Money Flow. I'm changing it a little bit, and it's, yeah, now going something new on my website. By the time you listen to this, you'll see the signature program. That's where to work with me, to take the dive in if you want to really get going. I have Activate Your Magic program. It's the first tier that people who don't want to spend more than $100 on themselves go. That's called Activate Your Magic. So I have a mastermind that people have to go through Magic Manifestation Money Flow first, because that's like the clearinghouse. And then we see how you're doing. And then if I see that there's an alignment there for you having potential and interest in becoming a vibrational upgrade practitioner or simply gaining more self-mastery over yourself in the co-creation process. That's at the mastermind level. We'll get on a call as you finish magic manifestation and money flow and then bring you in to the mastermind. That's where you access the retreats with me that people meet me over in the heart chakra of the planet, Glastonbury, England. And then more recently, I've been doing some divine feminine retreats with just the people who've been working with me the longest in the mastermind, to France and Spain, to Egypt. And now we're going to be going to Malta.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's just so many different ways you can get in my shop online. There's a ton of clearings and activations that you can start with right away at all different price points, all under 100, or majority are under 100. And a lot of them are under 50. So, I mean, you could just get one recording and just start listening to that every single day, the clearings and activations on it, and you will see it easier to do what I was talking about, where you get freer, you can observe your thoughts more, and you can start to have more self-mastery. There's just, please get going on something that actually works. If you're not feeling lighter from the work you're doing, please switch up what you're doing.
Yes, I agree 100%. Now tell everybody one more time where they can find your website again.
My name, you need the middle initial J, so you don't start looking up Allison K, because there's other ones out there. But Allison, 1LJKAY.com is another way to get to my website. And that's my name on Amazon and YouTube.
I love it. I love it. What I appreciate about this conversation is that it gives people another way to understand why they can feel so hard. And it reminds us that not everything can be solved by thinking harder. It forces in more or pushing through. Sometimes the real shift begins actually when we slow down and we take time to notice what's out there, and that feeling of stuck underneath the surface, and start working from there. And Allison, you bring such a message that there are a lot of people out there that are hungry right now for, and you the more clarity, more peace, more flow, and more a grounded way to change from the inside out. And that's what I love about you. And I thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing your message and just sharing some of your tools and strategies that you use that people could just use today just to begin. And I thank you for your message. You're just an amazing woman.
Thank you. It's been an honor and pleasure playing with you here.